Last week, religion struck again. Indira Gandhi was assassinated on Wednesday. Yesterday, her body was cremated in a traditional Hindu ritual. Mrs. Gandhi was killed by two of her own bodyguards, members of the Sikh religious sect. For nearly two decades, she dominated Indian politics as prime minister. In an attempt to lessen the chaos following her death, her party chose her son, Rajiv, to succeed her as prime minister. The frequently voiced concern is that Rajiv, at 40, does not have the experience or the ability to lead this country of 700 million people.
We should remain calm and exercise the maximum restraint.
On the day of his mother's murder, he went on television in India to appeal for calm.
Nothing would hurt the soul of our beloved Indira Gandhi more than the occurrence of violence in any part of our country.
But within hours of her death, mobs were in the street, sacking Sikh temples and burning Sikh property. Mrs. Gandhi had aroused the ire of the Sikhs last June by sending the army into their most sacred shrine. That attack, which she said was necessary to root out terrorists, took 600 lives. Now, following her death, the mobs are turning on the Sikhs, whose men are easily recognized by their beards and turbans.
Yes, sir.
Many Sikhs were pulled from trains and killed. According to some estimates, Mrs. Gandhi's death has now led to at least 1,000 more. In Warsaw, a crowd estimated at 250,000 people gathered for the funeral yesterday of a murdered Catholic priest. Father Jerzy Papiusko had become popular for his sermons in favor of the banned Solidarity Union and against Soviet domination of Poland. He was kidnapped on the 19th of October. Even before his fate was known, he was being hailed as a martyr, a saint slaying the Red Dragon. The priest's body was found last week in a reservoir. Five government security men are under arrest, charged with his abduction. At the funeral of his friend the priest, Lech Walesa said, "Swear that this death will not be forgotten." The crowd answered, "We swear." A calamity that much of the world ignored for a year and a half is finally receiving widespread attention. A United Nations study released last week found that 35 million Africans are desperately hungry. Western efforts to help, the report said, have been too little too late. Much food that was sent has been diverted from those who need it most.
Helping countries. Oh, please shut up.
There were some testy moments in the last week of the presidential campaign. Walter Mondale had one heckler too many in Portland, Oregon. But he drew big, enthusiastic crowds from Manhattan to East Moline. And Mondale told them all the same thing.
I believe that we're in for one of the big surprises in modern history.
Ronald Reagan's aides were utterly confident of victory. Some of them were talking about a sweep of all 50 states. President Reagan went out stumping for Republican congressional candidates.
So please help spread the word and get out the vote, and if you can, well, win those races for the Gipper.
The economic news of the week was that the civilian unemployment rate in this country stayed where it's been since May, at 7.4% of the workforce.
I'm sorry for any hurt, all the hurt, that I have brought to people.
In the 6 years since she was convicted of using rat poison to kill her boyfriend, Velma Barfield became a model prisoner, and she attempted to win a stay of her death sentence. Her efforts failed. Last week, as her supporters gathered outside Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina, Velma Barfield was given a lethal injection. She became the first woman executed in the United States in 22 years. In Baton Rouge, death penalty opponents protested the death of Ernest Knighton in the Louisiana electric chair. But in Huntsville, Texas, college students cheered as Thomas Barefoot was put to death by lethal injection. A child called Baby Faye survived the week with the heart transplant she received 10 days ago, but there was even controversy about that. Some doctors and animal rights groups said she should not have been given the heart of a baboon.